Jesus said, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." In the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Today's gospel lesson is two-thirds of parable teaching by Jesus on the condition of lostness. The story of the prodigal son follows the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. Again, this week, Jesus speaks in hyperboles, exaggerating the circumstances of a story to force his listeners, the tax collectors and the sinners, but more importantly, the righteous Pharisees and the scribes, who we are told were grumbling and saying, "Oh, welcome sinners and feast with them." The religious people of the time were familiar with the Old Testament metaphor of God's people being called lost sheep. They would know that in Jeremiah, we hear, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." Perhaps like modern-day believers, they forgot what a loving God it is that we worship, a God who actively seeks us, a God who willingly went to the cross to redeem the lost world. In the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, we hear, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Or in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." You know, it wasn't just that Jesus spent a little time talking to tax collectors and sinners. It was the problem was that he ate meals with them. Not a rush fast food meal in Jerusalem at a Chick-fil-A, but not on a Sunday. But a long, leisurely meal like those we see in the picture of the Last Supper, where they're all, well, I don't know whether they were all on one side of the table, but it painted that way. But all there leaning into each other, you know, leaning against each other, not sitting on chairs, reaching across the table, putting their fingers into the same bowls, picking out fruits and vegetables, grains and chunks of meat, and that kind of eating. That was scandalous. And so that's what ticked off the Pharisees and the scribes, that Jesus, this rabbi, this Jew, had close contact with the unclean. And in fact, he apparently welcomed them, and he seemed to actually enjoy spending time with them. And the tax collectors and the other sinners appreciated his teaching and his unconditional acceptance of them. They appreciated his healing touch, his healing words, his affirmation that they did indeed matter, and that God the Father cared about them, their plight, and their oppression. And that no matter what had been done to them or by them to reduce their self-image or destroy the image of God within them, that God was a God with love and mercy and grace, willing to forgive them and gather them back into the fold. The marginalized were much more open to hearing Jesus since they knew of their brokenness because they lived it each and every day. And the righteous among them made sure that they knew their place in society. But Jesus, the rabbi, was different. His unconditional acceptance of them was stunning, and it was powerful. And his healing and his teaching were welcome and transformed their lives. The gospel message was not lost on those who were lost. Today, we tend to think of those who are lost to the gospel as those we see out on the streets, or perhaps in prisons, or the homeless, or the poor, or the migrant, or the addicted, and you can add to the list, go on and on and on. We think that they don't know God, that they are among the lost because if they weren't lost, they wouldn't be living the way that they are living. And often the very people that we are pointing to are closer to God than we can imagine. Just beyond an awareness of his saving grace and unknown to them, always within his care, since he's always wooing them to his heart. What it takes is an awareness of our own lostness to have a spiritual eyes open to the closeness of God. It's often only in that utter darkness that we are able to see most clearly. Like the scribes and the Pharisees, we should guard against self-righteousness, thinking that we are in with God just because we're here in church, that we are the found ones, and that those who are out there are among the out or the lost. Being lost can happen to any of us, even us, meaning us, those who attend church regularly. Dr. Hal Bradley had said, a number of people today turn away from religion because it seems more like a dirge than a song. You guys don't sing dirges, you sing beautiful songs. Glorious music, in fact. But they stop coming to church because it seems more like a discipline than a joy. Personally, I've known very few people who have lost the happiness of life because of their religious faith. Yet I have known countless people who have lost their happiness in life because they had no vital religious faith at all. When our spiritual eyes are finally opened, the words of Scripture sing the joyous promises of God to our hearts. And the words of the hymns we sing each week take on a new meaning, and we realize that the transforming power of words such as "Once I was blind and now I see" are quite powerful. All of us are in a constant state of movement either toward God or away from God. Our reading of Scripture, our prayer, and our worship are all ways of inclining ourselves and our hearts towards God. And Jesus asks us not to look beyond and to judge others, but rather to look closely at our own lives, our own actions, and our own habits. What Christian behaviors do we reinforce with our daily devotions, our daily decisions? How do we use our time in trying to draw closer to God? Do you read Scripture or listen to podcasts or radio programs that focus on the Word of God? What shows do you watch on television? Or what movies do you go to see at the movies? Are they edifying? Can you say that there are godly messages to be gained from them? Are you using your time wisely? Now, yesterday, I had the second class for anybody who wanted to be confirmed or received or reaffirmed in the church. And I started out a little differently than I had the first time by taking one of the podcasts that we had on our website. If you go through the email that you get on Sunday evenings, down at the bottom there's a link, and if you tap on it, it'll take you to our website, St. John's website, and it lists all the devotional things that are available to you. Not everybody can sit and read, and I confessed yesterday that, you know, I am obligated because of my ordination vows to pray every day, morning prayer. Morning prayer bores me to death. I mean, I don't hear it half the time. I may be saying it, but I don't hear it. It's like one of those things that if you hear it over and over again, you're just not paying attention, you just get going. And for me, I can't handle that. I have to have something that wakes me up, that provokes me. And so I've turned to some of these podcasts, and the one that I shared yesterday was Pray As You Go. And that's how we started. And I turned it on, and there's some music. Sometimes it's, you know, cathedral-type music. Sometimes it's folk music or whatever. And then there's a reading from Scripture. And then there's some questions. It's based on Ignatian spirituality. And there's some questions. And then there's some silence, some music. And then they'll read the Scripture again, and they'll ask more questions. Well, I played it knowing how long it was, okay? And I could hear the rustling in the room. For those of you who were there, you know what I said to you. And when it was over, I said, that was 12 minutes. Did it seem like an eternity? I mean, because of the shuffling in the room. I could just hear the discomfort, you know? But the reality is, God gives us 24 hours a day. You can't spend anywhere from 10 to 13 minutes dwelling in the Word of God and asking yourself some really deep questions, reflective questions. And that's what I'm asking you here. How are you using your time? Are you using it wisely? Can you afford the 10 to 13 minutes a day at some point? Not maybe in the morning, maybe at lunchtime, in the car. You can play these things in the car. You can download them from a podcast. And they're provocative. They open you up to seeing things differently. So there are so many ways that we can awaken ourselves. It's using time wisely, like doing that, or helping other people in the name of Christ, and, you know, reaching out to those who are less fortunate, or asking yourself questions. How do you use your money to serve the needy? You know, Are you working towards tithing to help increase your giving to St. John's so that we can do more for the people who are in need? Do you contribute to the ministries of St. John's? Have you thought about joining a ministry but are too hesitant? Well, don't be. Don't be at all. Please approach me, ask me, talk to me. Sometimes I approach people, and if you have a thought that you'd like to do something, please approach me. But how do you use your time? Because the way in which you prioritize your time also helps you prioritize your relationship with Christ. And that's what's most important. And how is it our outreach committee is doing a wonderful job? How is it that we are reaching out into our community as a community of faith and spreading the gospel message and touching the lost and bringing them closer to God? If Jesus asks us not to judge others, but rather to look closely at our lives and our habits, our actions, are you moving closer to the heart of God? Or are you further away than you have been in the past? There's nothing wrong with admitting that we're lost or that we're bored with morning prayer. Find something else to do that brings you an awareness, an awakening, or what have you. Be honest with yourself. God is honest. He understands. He understands. In fact, I think it's important that we recognize when we are lost, those seasons of lostness in our lives, because when we do that, we realize that maybe we're on the wrong road. We've stopped praying. We've stopped doing morning prayer, whatever. And we need to turn back. We need to find our way back home. Home into the loving embrace of God. You know, in God's economy, even our journey down a wrong road, nothing's lost. Nothing's lost if you learn from it at all. Nothing is lost in the economy of God. And in fact, the lessons that we've learned down those wrong roads might be invaluable to others who have strayed. And given the right opportunity, our wounds, our brokenness, our now compassionate and empathetic hearts can lead us to be the godly source of healing for other people. You know, Jesus told parables about the lost and the found, but when you look at it, neither the sheep nor the coin had the ability to realize that they were lost, and that someone was fervently looking for them. And not everyone is able to recognize that they are lost, that they are not where they belong. And at the heart of the gospel that we heard today are not stories about sinners and righteous people, or for that matter about lost coins or lost sheep, but more about the wild and crazy God that we worship, the one that says, I love you. Fiercely. And then throws incredibly lavish parties and celebration when we turn back to him. But all we need to do is humble ourselves, to look closely at ourselves, and to allow ourselves to be embraced by God and to be found. Amen.